Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. And a way that you can learn more about how we are church together, your bulletin, I'm sure by now you have seen, has lots of inserts, calendar announcements, lots of opportunities to serve together. If you have any questions about worship or any of the things going on here at GPC, there'll be an elder standing at the communion table following worship, and you can always just lean over and talk to your neighbor about those questions, too. And don't forget, our hospitality registers are in the pews at some point during the service. Be great if you could take those out, sign them, pass them along. That way we can greet one another by name. We've got a few announcements this morning before we welcome our guest preacher this morning. So let's start with announcements. Frona.
It's all you.
Good morning. Listen carefully. You're not going to want to miss out on this. Men, women, kids, we need you. You came last year, so hope you'll be there again. On Saturday, November the 28th at 10 a.m., we're putting up the Christmas tree. Yuck. But we need a lot of help, and I am serious about that. The more the better. And we would appreciate a group, good group, all you young men. Bye.
Church mouse. Frona, will there be donuts?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's all we got to say. There'll be donuts. And hugs. Donuts and hugs. That's all we need to get.
Hi, good morning. I'm Linda Beattie, and this is Tess McKeel and Kathy Wakeman, who couldn't be here today. We are in charge of the Church Mouse Bazaar. We have a new church mouse, too. Kathy's just happened to have this in the closet. Anyhow, we would appreciate it if you signed up, if you haven't already, to help out. We need baked foods for the baked food sale, and Tess is going to give you some information.
I've been in charge of taking in the registrations, and I just wanted to give you guys an update that towards the end of July, we had about 100 crafters already put their applications in. We decided first come, first serve, so we were able to give 70 craft, not give, they purchased, 70 crafters purchased 87 spaces, and 40% of those crafters are new, so they were able to get their applications in. So if you've been before and think you've seen it all, please come. There's 40% new crafters. Tell your neighbors, friends, coworkers, everybody. It's going to be a great time.
That's next Saturday from 9 to 3:30. Thank you.
Thank you. And also a reminder, we did collect the stewardship pledge cards last Sunday, but as always, it's never too late. The ushers do have extra pledge cards. They're also in the rack out in the hallway, and you can fill those out and place them in the offering plate or drop them at the office. It is a great honor and pleasure this morning to welcome our guest preacher, the Reverend Kimberly Hines. So for nearly 15 years, Gates Presbyterian Church and the United Church of Jamaica in Negril, Green Island, and Santoy have been in relationship with one another. This relationship began with the Reverend Carol Ann Strawbridge and the Reverend Margaret Fowler, asking God and one another how our churches could partner together to do God's work. And that relationship between our congregation and the congregations in Jamaica has flourished. Many senior highs have been to Jamaica along with adult advisors. We have visited with a young adult work group and also an adult work project. And we have, in those experiences, been transformed by God's love at work. We've learned from the children who attend the preschool in Green Island, the students at the Skills Center of the Theodora Project, and the amazing hospitality our brothers and sisters in Christ from the Santoy Church extend to us on our visits. And many of you remember in 2007, Gates and the congregations in Jamaica committed together in order to provide a better learning environment for the preschool to help renovate and build and transform the basic school in Green Island. And it was in August of 2013, a group from GPC traveled down to put on that final coat of paint and celebrate with the congregation and staff in Green Island. And so that all happened right about the time that Reverend Fowler moved to a new call in Kingston, and the Reverend Kimberly Hines became the pastor of those churches in Jamaica. And of course, Carol Ann retired a year ago, and a new chapter of our life together in relationship has continued and is flourishing. We've got a group of 5 amazing young people and 3 adults heading to Jamaica in February 2016. But on this cold Rochester weekend, we have the pleasure of welcoming Reverend Hines to be with us this week. Reverend Kimberly Hines grew up in St. Anne's in Jamaica, and she studied in Kingston, and she earned her theological degree from the United Theological College of the West Indies. And this morning, we welcome Reverend Hines to share the word with us. And on behalf of our congregation, Bonnie Beckett would like to present a token of our welcome and care and love. So come forward. Bonnie, Kimberly, come
forward. For the Reverend Kimberly Hines, I have a prayer shawl just for her from our congregation.
Kimberly, would you like to bring greetings, or you want to do that later? Go right ahead.
Good morning to everyone. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I am delighted to bring greetings to you on behalf of the Negro Charge of Churches in Jamaica. I also bring greetings to you on behalf of the Reverend Margaret Fowler. Only a few days before I left Jamaica, she contacted me and asked that I bring greetings to you as well. We sincerely at the Negro Charge thank you for your love and your outreach towards us annually. It is something that we look forward to, from the youngest to the oldest of the membership. The compassion you have expressed reminds us of Christ's presence and protective care for his people. We appreciate your time, your effort, and your interaction with our children at the basic school and the youths at the Theodora Skills Training Center. And we pray that God's grace will continue to be with you as we continue in this partnership in mission. I thank you. The Lord bless you.
Now let us join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Creator of the world, eternal God.
We have come from many places for a little while.
Redeemer of humanity, God with us.
We have come with all our differences, seeking common ground.
Spirit of unity, go between God.
We have come on journeys of our own to a place where journeys meet.
So here in this shelter house, let us give thanks for this time together.
For when paths cross and pilgrims gather, there is so much to share and celebrate.
Good morning. Please join me in the prayer of confession. O hidden mystery, sun behind all suns, soul behind all souls, in everything we touch, in everyone we meet, your presence is in us and around us. But when we have not touched but trampled you in creation, when we have not met but missed you in one another, forgive us and grant us mercy, strength for our journeys. Please join me in the silent prayers of confession. The Holy One, your Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, forgives our sins. May we walk in the mercy of God. Thanks be to God.
this time the young children are invited to come forward. Hello. Should we sit today? Okay, good. I like it when we can sit. Good morning. I know moms are supposed to have eyes in the back of their head, but they don't seem to work very well in church. So, good morning. Good morning, friends. How are you today? Good. So I am so excited this morning for you all to have a chance to meet one of my friends today. So sitting over there, that is the Reverend Kimberly Hines, and she is a pastor just like me, but in a place that's a lot warmer. We can say that. In Jamaica. Have any of you guys ever been to Jamaica before? No? Oh, see? We'll have to change that. How about I show you where it is? Because we were talking last night about where Jamaica is, because my daughters asked, can we drive there? We can't drive there, so can you guys see here? We live all the way up here. And my friend Kimberly took an airplane and flew. There's Florida. Some of you guys have been to Florida, right? There we go. So keep going. Keep going. There's all this water. And right there is Jamaica. Right? So it's nice and warm and sunny. And in Jamaica, we have friends there in a church, in actually three churches, that we have built friendships with. And you want to know what's so great about friends? Well, you guys tell me, what is so great about friends? Tell me what's good about friends. Friends do things for each other. That's right. What else? And hugs. Yes, friends are so good at hugs. Yes. And did you get hugs?
And they had no teeth.
No teeth. I know. Friends even love us when we don't have teeth. That is such a good, good thing throughout our whole entire life. Even if we don't have teeth, our friends love us. And in Sunday school today, you guys are going to be reading a Bible story from the Gospel of Mark. And that author, Mark, talks about Jesus telling his disciples that sometimes there are scary and sad and hard things that happen in this world, isn't there? You guys know about those too. And one of the ways that we can help one another is by being friends and showing those signs of God's love to each other. Do you guys think that you guys can do that this week? Show signs of God's love through your friendships with each other. Yeah? Yes. I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to talk more about that. I'm not sure. But the Mark that wrote the Bible down, yep. You learn about... I know. Well, I know. We've got all sorts of problems without teeth today. But can you, can we pray together today? Can we do that? With or without teeth, no matter how many teeth you have, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for friends, for Reverend Hines, and her time with us. Help us to show your love. Amen. Thank you all for your help this morning. You guys are welcome to go to Sunday school now, okay?
The first reading this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Morah. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on the hill country on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward Negev.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible.
The gospel reading comes to us from St. Luke, chapter 8. Now the reading from verses 22 to 25. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Let us pray. Gracious God, you continue to journey with us, your people. We thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. And at times, Lord, when you call us, we thank you, Spirit of God, for your words of assurance, of your power, your presence, and your promise. Mighty God, may you speak today through me. Speak to me, speak to your people. And as we hear your word, may you grant unto us hearts that are responsive to you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Saints in Christ, I bring you a word today, not a word that is new, possibly a reminder, for many of you. When I thought about coming to share a word with you, I said, Lord, I want to share a word that not only speaks to me, but your people at Gates, and speak to the partnership that we have had over the many years. And the thought, a journey of faith. Think about 15 years or more. That is indeed a journey. And when we think about even our personal lives, walking with the Lord, I'm sure many of you have been walking with the Lord over 20 years and have experienced many storms of life. But through those storms, recognize that God is a faithful God. And I believe faith is one of those words like love, peace, forgiveness, worry, grace, that we talk about ever so often. But we struggle to understand the true meaning. And I was, however, led to challenge our hearts on this topic, a journey of faith. We take a journey each day, consciously or unconsciously. Even if it is those of us who stay at home and it is from our bedrooms to our bathrooms or to our kitchen, it's a journey. It's a movement. And those of us who go to school and to work, or we visit our neighbor or the grocery store. Also, I believe we experience faith, or we exercise our faith every day. We went to bed last night and our hope was to get up at a certain time. And we had no control over what took place during the hours of sleep. But God. And so Hebrews 11 and verse 1 is what I want to use to define for us faith. Because if I were to use the dictionary, or each of us were to use our own definition, it would be based on our experience. And so I want to use from the text, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure and certain, without a doubt. I want to share with you my experience in terms of journeying to different parts of the world. And these journeys over the years have helped me to recognize God's presence, as if I can touch my God. In 2004, I was selected to go on a youth convention in South Africa. A part of my dream was to go to Africa. And when I was selected to go to South Africa in 2004, I said, "Wow, God, you really answer prayer. You really answer prayer." So three of us journeyed to South Africa. And there we had company. But then in 2008, during my years of study, I was selected to go to the Fiji Islands. Now that was a lonesome journey. And the route I took, I did not know these places. And I said, "Well, Lord, I'm your servant. And I want to do your will." And I took the courage and I went. And the first plane I took, it was really a terrible flight. Our bags on the floor bumped up and people were shaking up. And I was really frightened. And I remember prior to going, this text came to me from Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." And it's as if the Lord said, "Take that passage with you." And I did. And while I was experiencing, or while we were experiencing that turbulence on the plane, I was reading a devotional. And it's like I'm saying, "But Lord, why is this happening?" It was really scary, not knowing anyone on the journey. But knowing you had to take all this long flight to a place where you know no one. And it interests me to know that God is everywhere. And as long as God is with us, there's nothing for us to fear. We meet the other person in another island or another country. It reminds us of God's presence, connecting with the other. Regardless of our backgrounds, it reminds us of Genesis 1, that in the beginning God created, and God continues to create. So this journey to Fiji was for me, I believe, a challenging, eye-opening experience. Pretty much like Abraham's experience to leave all that you are familiar with and go into another place, into the unknown. And upon leaving that place, someone gave me a bookmarker. And on that bookmarker, the text from St. John that speaks about peace. It says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you." That reminded me another time of God's presence with us. So whether it is a church, a congregation together that has been called to go on mission, or it is an individual, I believe first and foremost we must recognize God's presence. So the journey for Abraham, it was God who gave that call. And he sent him on a journey, said to him, "Go to a land that I will show you." Therefore, God challenged him to take a journey to a place unknown, to the unfamiliar. And God specifically said to him, "Leave your country and your people, your father's household." In other words, leave all that you are familiar with, the comfort. And I'm sending you into this place where it may seem uncomfortable to you because you're not familiar. So one can think of me leaving the warmth, the heat of Jamaica, and experiencing the cold of Rochester. But you know, God is an awesome God. And so we ought to be careful what we pray for. I prayed that, "Lord, I want to experience the cold in America." And he has granted me my wish. So the adventurous person that I am, I don't mind experiencing the cold. So I ask you, have you ever received such a call as Abraham did? Abraham was sent on a mission. And I'm sure that you have taken that kind of journey at some point in your experience walking with the Lord. I believe some of you have, not only to Jamaica, but to other parts of the world, as you hear the voice of God saying, "Go." Sometimes when we receive such a call, we ask questions. Why me, Lord? Why now? Why at this point in my life? And notice the response of Abraham. He left, and as the Lord had told him, he took along with him his wife, his nephew, and all the possessions he had. The truth is, sometimes our mission today requires that we do not take anyone else or even possessions that we have. I must share with you that while I journeyed, making the connecting flight, I thought to myself, "I wonder if that bag that I checked in, I will be able to have it when I reach Rochester." But then I said, "Lord, I'm on your business. If it is your will that it goes, it will be there. And if I do not have it, I believe you will provide for me." And so as I segue into the gospel reading in St. Luke, I want us to take note of some things that Abraham did. Abraham acknowledged God for who God was. He also had a knowledge of God. He knew God for himself. He had experienced God. I have heard the saying that says, experience is the greatest teacher, and I have grown to believe it. Abraham did not read about, or he did not hear someone else talking about this God. He knew God for himself. He connected with Yahweh. Secondly, Abraham had a relationship with God. A relationship suggests communication. Abraham's knowledge, experience, facilitated that kind of relationship, which included communication and trust. So there was trust on both parties' side. God trusted Abraham to send him to a place unknown to him. Abraham trusted God that wherever he went, God's presence would be there to take care of him. Abraham recognized God's presence and power in his life. And I believe this third point is very important for us, is that recognition of God's presence and power to do what God says God will do. Have our relationship with God caused us to recognize that presence and power of God? Are we communicating with God on a level to develop our trust and our faith in him? Those who are married will understand what that means in terms of communicating, being able to develop the trust. It is not just about knowing the exterior of the individual that you are in partnership, but getting to know deeper and deeper. So communication is really important. So our prayer life is important. So as we talk to God and with God, we also take time to listen to God's instruction and God's guidance to us. When we set out for mission, it demands a certain kind of posture from us who have been sent to go. And so let us examine the disciples' experience in St. Luke. The text is entitled, Jesus Calms the Storm. And I believe I chose to use this experience of a storm because very often when we go on mission, we will experience some kind of difficulty. And I believe that difficulty helps to now build our faith. Because in that process of being tested, God is taking us to another level. And so here the disciples were with Jesus. And Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Let us go to the unknown. We are on this side, but let us go to this side that we do not know what's going on there. And possibly Jesus was tired from preaching and teaching and healing, and so he fell asleep on the boat. And shortly afterwards, the boat began to sink, and water was getting in on them. Here is a journey, my sisters and brothers, in which those on a mission encountered great danger. Sometimes we can check the weather forecast, but the disciples did not consider to do so, or maybe they did not have the facility. So prior to my coming, I got a hint that such and such days would be cold. So if that would be a challenge, you need to gear up in this way. But I believe that even when we are able to check the weather forecast, there might be other challenges that we will encounter that will not be known to either part, to those who are on the unknown side or those who are on the side of going. And so I believe in this experience, Jesus knew. The disciples did not. But here was another opportunity for the disciples to learn. Here was another opportunity for the disciples to grow. So as the angry waves blew, the disciples woke Jesus. And here I noticed that they did not ask him to do anything, but they simply said, Master, Master, we are going to drown. And while they called out in respect to their master, using that term master, they also were in great terror. Water coming in on the boat, and your master is there and he's sleeping. And you know that he is tired. But he's your only source of help. He is the only person that I believe, as Christians, as believers, we believe that he is the only person that can help us in such times. The truth is, sometimes we do not know what the Lord will do or is able to do in such a situation. But we call upon him, and one of the things as Jamaicans we tend to do when we are in trouble, Lord of mercy. We cry out to God. We say, Lord of mercy, even if it is someone who is not a believer. The minute they are in danger, it is, Lord, have mercy. And so there is an acknowledgement that God in Christ has the power to do something. And so without making the situation worse, Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. He then asked, "Where is your faith?" I have not come to tell you anything new, my friends, but to remind you that time and time again we will receive a call to go places. And when we question the Lord, then the response will sometimes come, "Where is your faith?" It is a call, I believe, to take the journey of faith, and it demands from us, believers in Christ, a certain kind of posture which we can learn from the disciples. And so I want to lift up these 3 points. First is obedience. When God told Abraham to go, he left. The text did not mention any ifs or buts or whys. And likewise, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go," they followed him on the journey. The journey is oftentimes not about us or what we can do, but rather about God and what God can do, what God wants to do and will do through us. So I believe my being here today is not so much about me or any great power or any great potential, but rather about God's power to bring God's people together. Secondly, it's reliance. Abraham relied on God's presence and power on the journey. The Lord appeared to Abraham and gave another promise. At this point, Abram built an altar to the Lord. Again, at another location on the journey, he built another altar to the Lord. And I believe that signaled his reliance on God's presence and power. And that sustained him on the journey. Similarly, the disciples in their fright relied on Jesus to do something. Whatever it is that he's able to do in such a circumstance, they called on Jesus. And that's what we have that awesome privilege to do, to call on Jesus in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. So are we obedient to the voice of God? Are we relying on God to sustain us on life's journey? The third point is confidence. God started out by making promises to Abraham. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And I don't believe Abraham took all of these to say, "Okay, I will do, Lord, as long as you bless me." But in the process of it, I believe he viewed it as God using him to manifest God's power. of blessing to God's people. For God to make that kind of promise, it implies the kind of relationship shared between God and Abraham. It speaks of God's value for Abraham, and therefore Abraham's response of confidence in God's presence and God's power, not only to fulfill the promise, but to also be with him on the journey. A journey will never be alone, or we'll never be lonely on our journeys as long as God is with us. And this is the confidence that we need to portray as people of God. The disciples as well, though they were fearful, I believe they were confident in Jesus' power to do anything. They watched him heal. They watched him preach. They watched him turning water into wine, doing all those miraculous acts. So if there was a storm, some way, somehow, Jesus would do something. But it led them to say, what kind of man is this, that even the wind and the storm obeyed his voice? How about you today, my sisters and brothers? God may be calling you today to take a journey of faith. Only you and God are aware of that call. Maybe a call to go somewhere, or a call to trust in him through your storm or your current experience. There are no two ways about the relationship with the Lord. You either trust or not. How is your communication today with the Lord? What will it take for you to believe that God in Christ is more powerful than the very journey or the storm that you will experience on the journey? Are you looking for a sign or a clue or a promise? All you need to know is that God in Christ is with you. And notice what happened along the way for Abraham. He built altars unto the Lord, which symbolizes for me worship. And at the first glance or glimpse of danger, Jesus was called upon by the disciples. This symbolized for me communication, prayer. And then in the midst of fear, God acknowledged and Jesus's power relied on. So what is important here, my sisters and brothers, is as much as we are obedient and relying on God and expressing our confidence in God, it takes worship, our prayer and our praise, communicating and maintaining that relationship so that we will also hear from God God's will and God's direction on the journey. This call to go or experience the storm is an opportunity for growth as well as a revelation of God's power in our lives. And it will deepen our relationship with God. It will deepen our witness, because when those who are out of Christ look on us as people of God, they will see God's power revealed in our lives and want to also know this God. It will indeed bring glory to our God. God is calling you today. God is calling me. Through the tears of those we encounter, through the angry youth, through the homeless child, through the woman or man who have been abused or marginalized, through the sad and lonely faces along the streets, through the hands outstretched begging for food or clothing or money, what will be our response? Will you take the journey of faith? Very often these things that they are reaching out to us for, we do not have. There is a song that a little girl sang some years ago in a festival in Jamaica. She sang the words, "What can I give to you, the great I am? I am not a shepherd, so I cannot give a lamb. But what I have, I can give. I give my heart. That's the song of a child. When we look into the eyes of our children, do we see them giving their heart? Do we see that heart of humility reaching out to others? That heart of care, that heart of love. Oftentimes it starts at the heart. Not so much with the things that we have materially, but it starts at the heart, in the head, and then the hands extended. Will you stand being sure of God's presence and power as you hope for better, as is promised, though you have not seen? Interestingly, my friends, some persons have believed. They had faith, though they never lived to see to that which they hoped for or promised. And I believe that this congregation at Gates symbolizes this journey of faith. The many years you have reached out to the lives of people, not only in your home space, but to different parts of the world. I implore you by God's grace to continue to take the courage as a people, those of you who may not be able to connect with persons physically, but in your prayers and in the different ways you reach out to ensure that others who go are cared for. I pray God's continuous grace and that God will continue to grant you the courage to take the journey of faith. In the name of God, who is Creator and Father, Jesus the Son, our Sustainer, and the blessed Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Help, and our Guide. Amen. Amen.
Our world is hurting, and we gather in this place of worship to raise the prayers that are aching deep in our hearts. both those prayers of hurt, but also the prayers of joy. We bring them to one another and to God. If you would like to share a prayer out loud, you may do so. Raise your hand so an usher can come by with the microphone. Hold it close so we can hear you. If you'd stand if you're able, and tell us also who you are.
Diane Keeling. I ask for prayers for my mom. She's going through some health issues. She needs to have back surgery coming up. We're not sure when. She wants to postpone it through the holidays. And I also ask for prayers for my son, David. He's making some difficult decisions with school, and it has to be done fast. So we know that God will be with him, though. So, but thank you.
Any prayers? Amen. Prayers for the people of Paris and for the leaders to have wisdom in moving forward.
Tracy Berkovich, I've asked for prayers a couple of times for Jim's great nephew, Joseph. He's made a 6-month milestone of living, such a fighter. He's about just over 8 pounds and about 2 weeks away from heart surgery. So prayers that he stays healthy and is able to get that surgery. And also for a friend of mine that I graduated from high school with, her younger sister passed away yesterday, survived a bout of breast cancer, but then it came back in her brain and passed away yesterday after a long struggle.
One over there. Prayers for Nelson's dad, right, and the whole family.
Bridget Wohlers, my friend Erin asked me to ask all of you to pray for her and her mom. Mom's going through some serious health issues right now. Thank you.
Prayers for Erin and her mom. One more.
I'd like to ask prayers for Jacques. He graduated a couple of weekends ago. That was from Guiding Eyes. That was not the last dog, but the dog before. And he's going to be living in Toronto with Ron. And so I just would like prayers that they have a long and wonderful relationship.
Amen. Not seeing any other hands, so we've got one more. There we go. Go ahead.
Sally Christensen. These people next to me are cringing. We're delighted to have our son, Scott, who many of you know, and his beautiful wife, Jen, and our little grandson, Joshua, here this morning. But I did want to also mention, if you get a chance to see Joshua, make sure to wish his daddy a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday, Scott. And prayers from our children this morning. Oh, I'm seeing, yep, we've got a hand waving. It's going. You're good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Fran Peril, we're happy to announce that our son Robert was married last Saturday to Jessica McEntee, and our son Matt was home from China. He was in the wedding, and he announced he was looking for a diamond. So he did go back to China with a ring. So we're thrilled, and we're blessed.
Thanks be to God for joy of wedding. Now from our children who have asked us to hold these. They have many joys this morning for found footballs and new puppies, art projects, Mary Poppins, for paying attention and visits with Grandpa. They do ask for prayers of concern for a not-so-good trip to the dentist and for all of the sad people of the world today. And where there are no words, in the heartache of this world, we bring that emptiness to God. And the prayer that I am sharing this morning does come from the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, a beautiful prayer to remember, to honor, and to ask for God's mercy. Let us pray together. God of mercy, whose presence sustains us in every circumstance, in the midst of unfolding violence and the aftermath of terror and loss, we seek the grounding power of your love and your compassion. In these days of fearful danger and division, we need to believe somehow that your kingdom of peace, in which all nations and tribes and languages
dwell together in peace is still a possibility. Give us hope and courage that we may not yield our humanity to fear, even in these endless days of dwelling in the valley of the shadow of death. We pray for neighbors in Paris, in Beirut, in Baghdad, who in the midst of the grace of ordinary life while at work or at play have been violently assaulted and their lives cut off without mercy. We are hostages of fear, O God, caught in an escalating cycle of violence whose end cannot be seen. We open our hearts in anger, in sorrow, and hope that those who have been spared as well as those lives are changed forever may find solace, sustenance, and strength in the days of recovery and reflection to come. We give thanks for strangers whose comfort was there for the wounded, welcomed stranded strangers. We give thanks for first responders who run toward the sound of gunfire and into the smoke and fire of bombing sites. Once again, Holy One, we cry, how long, O Lord? We seek forgiveness for the ways in which we have tolerated enmity and endured cultures of violence with weary resignation. We grieve the continued erosion of the fabric of our common life, the reality of fear that warps the common good. God, we ask for courage for those who are suffering, wisdom and diligence among global and national agencies and individuals assessing threat and directing relief efforts. And for our anger and sorrow to unite in service to the establishment of a reign of peace where the lion and lamb may dwell together and terror will not hold sway over our common life. In these days of shock and sorrow, open our eyes, our hearts, our hands to the movements of your Spirit who flow in us like a river whose streams make glad the city of God and the hearts of all who dwell in it and in you. In the name of Christ, our healer, and our light, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, scarcity and fear hold hands, but abundance and joy, peace, love, and mercy are given in abundance from our God who is the great giver. Let us celebrate the love of God this morning as we receive the morning offering.
thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Extend and multiply its reach and influence. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
From this place, assured that God's presence is always with us. Go. Go with that love of God filling your hearts, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to get up and do it each day. Alleluia. Amen.